Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you all for being present. Today we're going to speak about Revelation chapter 17. Amen.
Amen.
And hopefully you go there in your in the word, Revelation 17, and I have broken it down in different phases. Okay? So Revelation 17, let's read verses 1 and 2. And Revelation 17, verses 1 and 2, it says, "Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, 'Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication.'" Amen.
Amen.
So, when the Lord speaks of fornication, what he's speaking of, what we in the word, is idolatry. Whenever Israel went away from worshiping the Lord and worshiped other gods, the Lord called it fornication because he's their God. Amen. So,
amen.
So we want to know, who is this picture of the scarlet woman? Who is she? Or who is it? Amen. So, the image of the harlot, the prostitute, was used during the Bible times. God would use that image to depict a city. A city. It was not a literal person. It was a city. Amen. And if you were to go to Nahum, Nahum, the book of Nahum, chapter 3, verse 4, it speaks of the city Tyre as a harlot. And if you go to Ezekiel 16:15, it speaks of Jerusalem as a harlot, because these cities worship false gods. Amen. So, you know, right? So the first thing is, the word is speaking of a city. That's your first point. Okay. Amen. This image represents a city. This scarlet woman represents a city. Amen. So then if you look at verse 15 of the same chapter, it says sitting on, well, actually, you also see it here. It says, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters." Okay. And then if you go to verse 15, it says, "Sitting on many waters, then the angel said to me, 'The waters where the prostitute is sitting ruling represents masses of people, nations, of every nation and language.'" Okay? So this image is of a city that tends to rule over other nations. Somehow it rules over other nations. Amen? Other languages. So this is a city that is a multinational city. Amen? You get that, right? And then, okay, so like I said, this is a city this is a wicked city, right? Because harlot represents a wicked city. So this is a wicked city that somehow rules over nations, and it says, "with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication." Now, in those days, there were kings, right? So today it represents leaders of nations, leaders of peoples, okay, that city rules over, or has what? Influence over. This is a multinational city that has influence because it's multinational, because it has influence over nations of the world, okay? Mm-hmm. And this is a city that has what? It has caused the nations or the people that it has influence over it to commit fornication, which is what? Idolatry, right? We mm-hmm. said fornication. So this is a wicked city in the eyes of God. Amen? All right. So how is she described? If you go to verse 4. Somebody read verse 4. If you haven't, just read it.
Revelation 4?
17:4.
The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication.
Okay, now it's describing the city, right? And it says what? She's arrayed. We're saying she, but we know we're talking about a city.
Right.
Is arrayed in purple and scarlet, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you go all the way back through history to current day, purple and scarlet are the colors of what? Of religion, right? Purple and scarlet, amen? Of splendor, of magnificence, amen? They were the colors of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
You see those colors in religion and in royalty, purple and scarlet,
mm-hmm.
amen? So again, okay, the rulers of the they were colors of rulers and of government, amen. Magnificent the dyes. Now, why did they say purple and scarlet dyes? In those days, these fabrics were very, very expensive. Only the wealthy could afford them. So, kind of implies what? This is a wealthy city.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. It's a wealthy and a magnificent city. And it says that she has a golden cup in which is the filthiness. The cup is full of the abominations of this city. So again, this is a city where idolatry continues. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So we're over here trying to picture what this city is. Amen. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now in verse 5 and 6, if I can have somebody read verses 5 and 6.
And on her forehead, a name was written: Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement.
Amen. Okay. Remember that this is John the apostle, and the angel he's been given this vision. Okay. So he sees this harlot, okay, and on her forehead, the name is written: Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. Amen. So one thing we want to know, this is not speaking of literal Babylon, which was an ancient city, but it's using that city because that was a wicked city. All during Bible history, Babylon was portrayed as a wicked city. Okay? So, again, she's called Mystery Babylon the Great. All right? In the Old Testament, Babylon was a city that was in opposition to the plans of God. Amen? And the traditions of God, it was a human, you know, it focused on man and what the king wanted and what the kings wanted and their rule and not God's rule. Amen. So see where Babylon was, in Jeremiah 51:36-37, here's what the word says. This is what the Lord says to Jerusalem, a wicked city at the time. I will be your lawyer to plead your case. Oh, this is this scripture has to do with God avenging Jerusalem against the city of Babylon. Okay? So it's Jeremiah 51:36-37. Again, God is saying that God is going to defend Jerusalem against this wicked city, Babylon. So all that to establish that Babylon represents a wicked, wicked city. So this is the harlot of the city. Amen. But in verse five, it says the mother of harlots, right? Right? It said, Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots. So why should it say mother? Why should it say the mother of harlots? The implication is what? That this city has daughters.
Right.
The mother of harlots. That's female. That's daughters. Okay? This city has extensions that she rules under that promulgate whatever doctrines, whatever this city wants. Amen. It says, so in this case, we believe that this means affiliated churches, because we will get there, okay, that would teach the same doctrines that would be in opposition to what Jesus and his disciples taught. Okay, so this is a wicked city, very wealthy, that has influence over the nations of the earth, that teaches doctrines contrary to what Jesus and his disciples taught. The verse 6 says that she's drunk with the blood of the saints. Drunk with the blood of the saints. What does that mean? It means that through the ages, there have been martyrs. There have been those that believed in God, believed in Christ, but that were slain at the request of this city. Amen. So, what this is? What am I saying? Not only my opinion, okay? This is not only my opinion, but this is my opinion, okay? Opinion. I believe that this is a religious system that has persecuted believers through the ages. Because it says the blood of the martyrs, amen? And I believe that this system is the Roman Catholic Church. Many theologians believe this, others do not. But from the description, this is my belief, because, you know, the Catholic, qualify this. I'm not speaking of the people that are in the Catholic Church. I believe there are true Christians in the Catholic Church. But we're talking about the system, the government of the Catholic Church. Now, the Inquisition, which ran through 1096 to 1254, was established by the Catholic Church to punish what they called heresy. Amen. In Europe and in the Americas. And to punish Muslims also. Amen. Especially in Spain. And to punish the Jews. Spain was well named in punishing the Jews during the time of Queen Isabella. If you did not convert to Catholicism, you either had to leave Spain or you would be murdered. Another thing is, do you know of the monk Martin Luther? Martin Luther lived during the 1500s. He was a monk of the Catholic Church. Amen. And you know what? He started reading, you know, he was reading the Gospels and reading the book of Romans. And he realized that salvation came by faith. And what was happening in the Catholic Church was that it was Pope Leo X in 1570. He offered what were called indulgences. And what is an indulgence? An indulgence is you would get a piece of paper if you contributed to the building of St. Peter's Basilica in the Vatican. You would get what's called an indulgence, which said that you would be free from the sins that you committed, that you would spend less time in purgatory, that you would not receive punishment because of the indulgence, the piece of paper that the Pope, a man, gave you. And that's how they raised money to build these beautiful buildings in the Vatican. Okay? So Martin Luther protested. He was a monk of the Catholic Church. And what he did, he wrote 95 theses and he nailed them to the door of the churches. And for that, he was excommunicated. And that's how the Protestant Church began, with Martin Luther. So there's a little bit history there for you. You want more, you can look him up. Amen. So,
amen.
So, the church was persecuting those. Let me put a little aside here. Give you a little aside. During this time, when the Protestants began to raise up, there was persecution on both sides, because the Catholics didn't want the Protestant, and the Protestant were fighting back persecution by the Catholics, so they were killing each other, just to let you know, okay? Okay, now, so my opinion is that the harlot, amen, let me just put this aside, the harlot is a city, wicked city. Now, let me go a little further. Verse 9 says, the seven heads of the beast represent the seven seals, where the seven hills where the woman rules. Okay? Rome is known as the city of seven hills. And many biblical scholars and theologians believe that because the Vatican is in Rome, this represents the Vatican. Because Rome sits on seven hills. And I'm not going to give you the names of the hills. You can look them up. There's seven hills that Rome sits on. Amen? And the Vatican is a city-state surrounded by Rome. So it's within. Amen? Right. So I've basically given you a description of this harlot, the woman. Now, okay, so we said it's a wicked city. It's a wealthy city. It rules over nations, kings, you know, leaders of nations. It has persecuted the saints of God. It is full of the abominations, which is, and doctrines that don't agree. Now, I shared with you in times past the various doctrines of the Catholic system, okay? One is that the mother of Jesus never died, that she ascended into heaven, like Jesus said, that she is the Immaculate Conception also, that she was born without sin. Amen? That you have to go to confession, whereas we know now that we have a mediator who is Christ the Lord.
Amen.
You know, there are certain doctrines that the Pope is infallible, that whatever the Pope says and however he interprets the word, that's what it is, and that's what its daughters have to promulgate. So those are just a few things, okay? Now, I don't know about you, but I don't think the Pope is infallible. I don't think any preacher, any pastor, any man, any woman is infallible.
Nope.
And there are other churches that kind of preach the same kind of doctrine. The Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, you know, they have a group that's infallible, that only they hear from God and they promulgate. But anyway, you have that. Okay, so I think I've given you what I believe is the church. You don't have to agree with me. No problem. Research it for yourself and you come up to your own conclusions. Again, we're not talking about people. We're talking about a system. And again, I could be entirely wrong. All right, let's go to the beast. All right, let's go to verse 3. So you see, I'm flipping back and forth on verses because I was trying to give you a clear picture of who, what is, okay? Let's go to verse 3, and if you can read for me verse 3, that would be great.
So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and seven horns.
Okay, so this is verse 3. So if you go back, you'll know that this woman is the woman we are, the system, the city we just described, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is the scarlet, the harlot woman, right? Okay, so it says, she's sitting on a beast, right?
Yes.
And so let's look at her. Let's look at that first. The woman is sitting on a beast. So her position, she's riding on the beast, which indicates there was a duality. There is a duality here. Amen. She sits on the beast, which means the beast is supporting her, right? But she's sitting on the beast,
right,
which means that she kind of rules also. She has a very prominent position with this beast. The right. Duality. You see the duality of that? Okay, so she's supported by the beast, and the beast, we know is political power. We'll come back to that. Okay, so she's supported by this political power, but she's on this beast, so she has some measure of authority. Okay, now. The scarlet beast, you can go to, and we're not going to go there, to Revelation 13, which also tells you about this same beast. Okay? It says, the beast is full of blasphemous names. Okay? And that's what we saw in verse 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're sitting on a scarlet beast, which is full of blasphemy. Blasphemous name. So this is the same beast. And the beast has seven heads and ten horns. Amen. You can see the same description in the book of Daniel, if you want to go there. Not now. Daniel 7, 2, verse 2 to 8. Amen. It describes a beast that seems to be the same type of beast, which he is. When you study that chapter, okay? Now, here's the good part of it. In verse seven, what does the angel say to John? Read verse 7, somebody. What does the angel say to John?
Okay, hold on a second. Verse seven. What? But the angel said to me, why did you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carries her, which has the 7 heads and 10 horns. Continue.
And 10 horns on which she sits. Okay. So the angel is going to tell us. He's going to interpret this, right? So the angel says this. The beast you saw was once alive, but isn't now. Okay?
Right.
So keep that in mind. Once alive, but it's not alive now. Amen? And remember, this is during the times of John, right? You have to remember, you have to take things in the context, which a lot of people take things out of context. Okay? This is, so he's saying to John, was once alive, but isn't now. And yet he will soon come up out of the bottomless pit and go to eternal destruction.
Yeah.
Right? And the people who belong to this world, whose names were not written in the book of life before the world was made, will be amazed at the reappearance of this beast who had died. Okay. So, and then what does he says in verse 9? He says, this calls for a mind of understanding. The 7 heads of the beast represent the 7 hills where the woman rules. And we already discussed, right? The 7 hills where the woman rules. So he's giving you the area where the beast is going to be represents. Amen. Now, he also said, they also represent 7 kings. 5 kings have already fallen, and the 6th now reigns, and the 7th is yet to come, but his reign will be brief. Okay, so this calls for a mind of understanding. It's a little confusing, right? He's trying to tell you who this beast represents. So let's look at it. Let's look at it with through biblical history. In the Bible, there are 7 major empires. Okay, write this down. 7 major empires. Assyria came first. Then Egypt, then Babylon, then Persia, then Greece, and then Rome. Okay? That's 6 right now. Okay? That's 6. He said the 7th is yet to come. All right? So John is living during the time of Rome, right?
Yes.
Right. Because let me just okay. Because he says in verse, I'm trying to get the verse for you. So I don't want to run over this because this is what happened last time. Okay. In verse 9, he says, 5 kings have already fallen. That's Assyria. If you look at biblical history, you know that each empire was conquered by the next one. Assyria, Egypt, Babylon, Persia, Greece. The Romans conquered Greece. Remember Alexander the Great? Okay. That's the empire that was conquered. Rome is the empire that is now, and that's the empire that John is living in. He's living in the Roman Empire, okay? And then the scripture says the 7th, which is, okay, this the 6th now reigns, the 7th is yet to come. Now, it is believed, according to all of this, because he says, the 6th now reigns and the 7th is yet to come, but his reign will be brief. The 7th empire will be the revised Roman Empire.
Hmm.
We'll go back to that, okay?
Yeah.
The sixth now reigns, and the seventh is yet to come, but his reign will be brief. Okay, keep that in mind. So the seventh will be the revised Roman Empire. Number 11 says, the scarlet beast that was but is no longer is the eighth king. He is like the other seven, and he too is headed for destruction. So now we got eight. All right. Just to let you know up front, the eighth is the Antichrist. The scarlet beast, it represents the Antichrist. The scarlet beast that the woman is riding on represents the Antichrist, who will rule the world during the tribulation. Amen.
Amen.
Let's read verse 12 a minute. Somebody read verse.
Then the ten horns which you saw are ten kings who have received no kingdom as yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as king with the beast.
With the beast. Read 13.
These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast.
Okay, so the beast is going to reign, right? Because the beast has authority. The beast is going to reign. The beast represents the Antichrist, okay? Now, I'm going to take you guys to, go to Daniel. Put a little paper or something in Revelation and go to Daniel chapter 7. And let's read verses 7 through 8 in Daniel chapter 7.
Amen.
Go ahead, read it.
After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little horn, one coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in his horn were eyes like the eyes of men, and a mouth speaking pompous words.
Amen, amen. So this is, okay, so Daniel... The book of Daniel is another prophetic book, Daniel and Revelation. Now, in this vision, God is showing Daniel what the future is going to bring. Okay? And so he sees a fourth beast with teeth of iron. Iron represents Rome. They were known for there was another vision that was given to Daniel of a big statue, and the statue represented four kingdoms, and the last kingdom was Rome, and it was represented by legs of iron. So right over here, you know that he's speaking, it kind of implies he's speaking of Rome, right? And then it shows you, and it agrees with what we just read, that the beast has 10 horns, right? It says the same thing, 10 horns, okay? So this is, and then it tells you in here that this little horn had eyes like human eyes and mouth full of blasphemies. Again, this is pointing to the Antichrist, the same individual that is being spoken of in this chapter, okay? And then we go back to verse 12, and it says, we'll read it again, the 10 horns of the beast are 10 kings. So it's telling you that it's 10 powers, right? whether you call them kings or you call them ruling nations, who have not yet risen to power. They will be appointed to their kingdoms for one brief moment to reign with the beast. They will agree to give their power and authority to the beast. Okay? So during this time, and this is during the tribulation, during this time, there will be 10 areas. We won't say 10 nations because there are probably 10 geographical areas, and we believe it'll be somewhere in Europe, that 10 confederacies, okay, will be ruling with the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
Rise up in power. They're going to be agreed to rule with him, but at some point, the 10 will become 7. Didn't we read 7? 7. Why? Because the Antichrist, he's going to devour 3 of them. This is what it says. It says, back in Daniel, as I was looking at the horns, suddenly another small horn appeared among them. That's the Antichrist. 3 of the first horns were torn out by the roots to make room for it.
Mm.
However it's done, he overcomes 3 nations or 3 ruling areas. So now it becomes 7 nations. And this is what it said, you know. It says that they will agree. They become 7, okay.
Right, of one mind.
Mm-hmm. Then, okay, here's what I wrote. The revised Roman Empire will govern a confederacy of 10 provinces, regions, states, nations, whatever, beginning with or prior to the rise of the Antichrist. As the Antichrist rises, he will somehow consume, overcome 3 of the 10, thereby making it a confederacy of 7 states, kingdoms, ruling authorities. Amen? That's during the revised Roman Empire. This is the revised Roman Empire. Amen. And so here you have the beast, who is the Antichrist. Let me say something aside from that. The Antichrist, as the Bible points out, is a figure that will be ruling during the tribulation. But as he comes as one of the horsemen, the first horseman of the sealed judgments, the 6 seals in Revelation, he's the horseman that comes on a white horse. The Bible shows him coming. But it shows that he has a crown, and people have mistaken that for Jesus. But his crown is a different type of a crown, which tells you that he's not the Lord and he's coming to conquer. Okay, that's the Antichrist. And that, you see, we've seen that earlier in earlier teachings, that he will come to conquer. Okay, so we can see that there is a confederacy of nations that has happened, because it's happened in Europe. When the Bible says that the, I'll show you where it says it. The Bible, you know, we've read that that Rome will come again. That Rome will rise up again, the Roman Empire. That's why we call it the Revised Roman Empire. Okay, he's going to come during that time to rule. And then he is going to rule jointly with these regions. But here's what the word says. It says on 12, the 10 horns of the beast are 10 kings who have not yet risen to power. They will be appointed to their kingdoms for one brief moment. He takes over three, they become seven, and they will agree to give their power and authority to him. So what does that mean? What does that mean if they give their power to him?
He rules their power.
He's the sole ruler, right?
Right.
He's the sole ruler. And that's what the Bible tells us, that there is going to become a man who will rule the entire world. And so he becomes the sole ruler. And so what happens? The confederacy between him and the nations will dissolve, right? Will dissolve. Didn't we just read that they agreed to give him their power?
Yes.
So he will become the sole ruler of the world. Amen. So here's the thing. The Scarlet Woman, we believe, is some religious system. Okay? What does the word show? Who is, and I hate to put it this way, but who is the sidekick of the Antichrist? Come on. Who's the sidekick of the Antichrist?
The devil.
The devil.
The false prophet. Isn't that a religious term? Prophet. The false prophet, he'll point to the beast and he'll say, I'm saying this because we've gone over this, but you know, it's been a while, right? The false prophet, I taught about the beast and the false prophet, that the two will be ruling together. That's the religious system, the false prophet. And the false prophet points to the beast. And he tells the world, worship the beast. We taught all this, and I know it's hard to remember. It's hard for me. But anyway, so he's going to be pointing to the world to worship the beast. And he is going to... The beast is going to get rid of the false prophet, right? Because let me show you.
So he's going to do away with the Roman Catholic Church.
He's going to do away with the religious authority, whomever they are, right?
Okay.
Let me see if I can show you. Let me find the verse where. He joined when the Confederacy comes under his rule. He tells them. Oh, here we go. Okay. All right. So right now, in the beginning of the tribulation, you have the false prophet and you have the Antichrist. And by then, it has become one world religion. Now, let me say this. It's not only going to be the Catholic Church, this one world religion, okay? It's also going to be the Protestants that didn't go up in the rapture, the Catholics that didn't go up in the rapture, the Protestant, because there is going, you know, the word says that in the end days, there will be an apostasy where people will be falling away from God. And God says, if not for the fact that he comes, when he comes in the rapture, even the very elect in the church would be lost. You understand? When I say lost, right? So the religious system is going to be a system of all the world religions, including, but added by the Catholic Church and all the world religions that didn't come up. They didn't go up in a rapture. So you have a false prophet. He's going to be the head of the religious system. Then in the middle of the tribulation, what's going to happen? The false prophet has been pointing to worship the beast. Now look what it says here. Look at verse 15. Verse 15 says, then the angel said to me, the waters, oh, no, we read that one. I'm sorry. That's not the one I want. That's, we've already discussed that. Okay, here's 16. The scarlet beast, the Antichrist, so you can put over there, the Antichrist and his 10 horns and all hate the prostitute. They will strip her naked, eat her flesh, and burn her remains with fire. What is that telling you? He's going to get rid of the religious system, right? For God has put a plan in their minds, a plan that will carry out his purposes. They will agree to give their authority to the scarlet beast, and so the words of God will be fulfilled. That's verse 16. So, and I know you're going to say, well, why does it say 10 kings? Well, a lot of stuff is not in chronological order. You have to realize that.
Yeah.
By then, all these kings will have they will agree. Then the Antichrist will have full rule over the world, and he's going to do away with the religious system. Why? Why?
So he can rule.
Who is the Antichrist ruled by? Or in the world? Who?
The enemy, no?
The beast.
Satan, yeah.
Right.
Satan, the beast Satan is ruled by Satan.
The enemy, yeah.
And what has Satan always wanted?
To remember Jesus.
In the wilderness, say to Jesus, worship.
Be like Christ.
He wanted to be worshipped. Remember he said, worship me? That's the final temptation. Worship me and I will give you all these kingdoms. And Jesus said, you know, told him, you should only worship the Lord your God. The beast wants to be worshipped. That's why I say that the scarlet woman, the religious system will be done away with, because it's at the midpoint of the tribulation that the Jewish people have to flee, because the Antichrist has placed an image of himself in the synagogue, in the third temple, and he wants to be worshipped. If you have a religious system, he can't be worshipped, because a religious system is pointing to this religious system, right? So that's, and God has done this intentionally, has put this in their hearts intentionally. God is letting him have everything he wants, because what's going to happen in the final analysis. Okay. So let's go back to verse 14. Verse 14 says what?
They will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and those who are with him are called chosen and faithful.
Amen. So you see how things are not in chronological order. That's what makes this difficult at times to explain, because you think that all these events happen chronologically. But you know what war this is? This is the war of Armageddon at the end, when Jesus comes. Amen. He comes and he defeats the Antichrist in the battle of Armageddon, and at that end, the Antichrist and the false prophet are thrown into the lake of fire. Mm. That's the end of them. But it's not the end of Satan. That's the end of them. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. So here's the final analysis. The woman is Go ahead. The woman is the religious.
The great city.
Oh. That great city. Go ahead.
That rules over the kings of the earth.
Right. And so that's that city. It says, it tells you that it specifically tells you that it's a city.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's a city that rules over that. And so we believe that this is a religious system, which is going to reign and rule with the Antichrist until the midpoint of the trib, of the tribulation. And the Antichrist, the beast is the Antichrist. And if you go back in prior chapters, you'll see, because we taught on who the Antichrist was. And if you go back, like I said, to a chapter where it specifically tells you who the beast is and who the false prophet is, you know, you'll see that, as we've said, the beast is the Antichrist. The false prophet is a religious system. That's who the false prophet is. The scarlet woman represents that religious system.
The religious
the
system.
The beast represents the Antichrist. Amen? And I'll give you another aside, and I hope you don't think I'm beating a dead horse. I want to let you know a little bit. Do you know that the Vatican, so we're not talking about people, the Vatican today has over $73 billion in assets. $73 billion in assets. Mm-hmm. Do you know that Italy tried to, in 19, I think it was 62, Italy tried to tax the Vatican, because they're tax exempt, tried to tax the Vatican. And at that time, the Vatican had about $15 billion in assets. And the Vatican says, if you tax us, we will dump all the Italian stocks that we have, which would destabilize the country and bring the government.
Collapse it, yeah.
So you say, money, 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 you know?
That's what it is.
But, you know, we have to pray. And, oh, where did I? Oh, man. Let me see. At some point, did I overlook that where God says, come out of her, my daughters? Did we?
No, we read that.
Where God says, come out of her? Mm-hmm. It was some. Did I overlook that? Yeah, well, anyway, you guys, if you find it, let me know. But God says to those that are in this system that are part of the Scarlet Woman, God says, come out of her, my daughters. Where did I read it?
I think it was in Daniel.
Was it in no, I don't think it was in, no, I don't think it was in Daniel. But if you find it, let me know. So God is admonishing, come out of that city. Come out of that wicked system. Amen.
Was it verse 8? The beast which you saw once was, now is not, and yet will come out of the abyss and go into its destruction?
No.
The verse? No.
Let me look at the beginning verses. Maybe it was in the beginning. Let me see. Well, anyway, if you find it, let me know where it is. I know I read it somewhere. It could have been somewhere else. Anyway, so I think that we have... anyway, I think that we have, or I have explained as best as I can at this point in time, give you a clearer understanding of who the beast is, and who the Scarlet Woman or the harlot is. The Scarlet Woman. You remember the book, The Scarlet Woman?
Yes.
Who the harlot is and who the beast is. Okay. So you're blessed.
Amen.